You know, there are days kind of like today for me in getting ready where not much goes right, but at the end of the time I say, well, at least I'm going in the right direction. Can anybody relate? You know, we know inherently that every day is not going to look well. We're not going to do every day right. But what we really have to say at the end of the day is, am I going the right way? You know, we often are like the disciples who see the right path that we need to go on and think, no, no, Jesus, that's the wrong way. That's not where you want to go with me. Some of us have the anointing of the Apostle Peter upon us, and we actually think that we know better than God, and we begin to rebuke him for the course he has set in our life. Most of us are like the average disciple who says, I just don't get it. I don't get this path. I don't get that it always leads to a cross when I thought I did that once and now doesn't everything lead to roses and easy life? You know, the scripture says that Jesus chose a path that to everybody else looked like this. It was just dark, and there's a little path in there if you look, but it's hard to see and we don't really know what we're heading to. But what we celebrate on Easter is that that path ended up leading to this next picture, which is this, just refreshing. And I think that's what faith really is all about, is understanding that in this world, the path that Christ says we have to take is one that often looks like it won't end up where we want it to end up. Jesus talked about this all the time. The Bible talks about this all the time. You'll see some scriptures in your notes that I gave you really as a beginning of a discussion in this next season of your life. Look at in the inside flap, knowing the right path. Here are a few of the scriptures of what the Bible says the right path looks like. In Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads in death. In Romans 3, it says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away from God's direction. I think most of us assume with the right education, with the right focus, with the right, and here's an important word for this morning, with the right sincerity, that we know the right path to choose. Another important word to think about is with the right intention. Well, I intended to go the right direction. We kind of think that sincerity and intention with just a sincere effort, well, we'll all find the right path. But the Bible actually says something radically different. It says no one finds the right path without his help. Because all of us are kind of like people lost in the woods with a compass that only points to ourselves. No matter how we turn and we're looking for the right way out, the compass just points at us. Because in the end, we rely on us, we trust in us, we've the one who's been hurt, we're the ones who have had the difficulties. No one understands what we've been through. If people understood where we were, then they would. We have an internal compass that only points to us, and so it leads us nowhere. Jesus spent all of his ministry talking about this, although we tend to think the only words Jesus used were sin and wrong and bad and other such words. You know, look at some of the passages here of what Jesus said about the paths we choose. It's in your outline. Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Luke 9, 23. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now listen to this next line. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very soul? Jesus constantly talked about, he constantly challenged people What path are you on? In the book of Mark, and what I want to do is I want to encourage you to make Easter a new beginning of reading the scriptures. And so what I invite you to do is, starting tomorrow, read chapter 1 of the book of Mark. Mark is a concise book. It's very action-packed. You take the next 2 weeks or so, and you can read through the whole story of Jesus and take for yourself what he's saying. I gave you a few key verses there in Mark because Jesus kept talking about, look, I know the path I'm on, I know where I'm going, and I know what it leads to. And my question for you and I this morning is, do you know the same? Do you know the path you're on? And do you know where it leads to? Jesus would say to the disciples who thought he was all wrong, look, the path I'm going to go on, it ends in Jerusalem. It goes to Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, they're going to condemn me. They're going to deliver me over. It's going to be injustice. It's going to be hard. But Jesus never stopped with saying that's where this leads. That's why I had you read certain parts, because he always finished by saying, but I know where this really ends up, with me rising again. I know that a life that is greater than death, greater than pain, greater than opposition, greater than fear, I know how to get to that life. And ironically means that I have to walk through some of those very things. Sometimes we can make Christianity a lot more complicated than what it really is, because Jesus actually said one thing an awful lot, and it was one word that began with an R. And it was the word what? Repent. What was he saying? You're tempted to walk over here. You need to what? Turn around. This path doesn't lead any place good. The destination of this place is not good. Get back on the path and follow me. Oh, I don't want to follow you there. I'd rather let's go this way. No, if anybody wants to find life, that's the right door. You and I can be very tempted to think that paths that look good in the beginning lead to paths that end up in nice places. And yet really one of the major themes of the Bible when it talks about dark and light is really the sense that we don't usually see our paths very well at all. We don't see where they're going to end up. And because of that, Jesus says, whoever really wants to see, know me, because I am the light of the world. You know, this past, I know some of you are about to do some traveling, some of your stories, and I'm sure some of you have traveled this week, and my daughter and I, Rachel, we ended up traveling down to Southeastern University. Shay, that's where you go, yeah, woo, okay, down in Florida. I couldn't find Travis, so you were it. My daughter is a junior, just looking out of school, and so we decided that we'd love nothing more than to travel 1,600 miles in a Honda Civic over 3 days, because that's spring break. And, you know, to travel down to Lakeland, Florida, a little south of Orlando, I didn't get on I-95 North. Amen, God bless you. And just... Okay, no. You know, Rachel and I could have started out on Monday saying, you know what, we just know that God wants us to end up at Southeastern University today. We know where our destination is. We have every intention of going there. And you know what, God? We want to pray that you bless our trip. God, we're going to quote scripture and listen to Christian songs while we go north on I-95 to Lakeland, Florida. I guess it doesn't matter how many Christian songs we sing. Going north on I-95. Repent. It's what my daughter would say at some point. Turn around, Dad. Go the other way. Hebrews 12 is a passage here on choosing the right path. I want you to take it to heart. It's out of the Message Bible. I want you to hear it in a fresh way today. It's from the Message, so it's a little different. It says this. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we are in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, he put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever, and now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. The scripture doesn't tell us that we're going the right way, but we need to do it better. The gospel doesn't say you need a little help in the way you're going. Jesus says all of us are going the wrong way, religious or otherwise, unless he's the one leading us, because only he really knows the way to eternal life. So I'm hoping that today will be a new beginning for you. I'm hoping you'll pick up the book of Mark starting tomorrow and just say, where am I going? Where does God say I need to go? You'll see on the back of your outline, I've got some questions that maybe you want to talk about with a family member after today's service when you're going to lunch, or just something that might come up later, and say, hey, in life, where am I headed? Where are my finances headed? Where's my marriage headed? I mean, there's a path that I'm on. Is it going the right way? There's a book that I even invite you to read. I'm going to base the sermon series on it, although I'll kind of let you read it and do some other things with it. But it's a book by Andy Stanley called The Principle of the Path. Really good, just common sense book. It says when you drive on I-95, don't expect to end up in Miami. It says, do you look at that in life and where are you headed? And I want to give you three thoughts about what Jesus' model tells us about what life's like with a path. And there are these points. We're just going to hit them real quick so you can think about them and pray about them and let God speak to you. Number one is this. Life is not a set of disconnected decisions. It's a set of connected steps in a certain direction. You ever meet that person, family member, or friend who you've kind of been tell for a while that they probably, hey, you might want to not do that anymore or change that or do that? And then one day they come to you shocked about what's happened in their life and they can't believe they've ended up where they've ended up. And you're like, no, I pretty much saw that coming for the last 5 years. Because somehow to them, all the decisions they were making, whether it was in their finances, whether it was in their health, whether it was in their marriage, whether it was in their faith, whether it was in their career, whether it was in their parenting, they somehow saw all the decisions they were making as these disconnected random things. And yet you were looking from the outside in going, step one, step two, step three, step four, step five, step six. It's like, for you, it was pretty obvious. And that's kind of part of why we're not very good at seeing the path ourselves. That's why we've got to follow Jesus. We, in the words of the famous, who said it on Saturday Night Live? Said, denial ain't just a river in Egypt. Explain that to each other right now so you can. We tend to do a pretty good job of denying where we're headed in life, although most people around us can see it pretty obviously. And I think we need to remember that life is a set of steps. Don't look at your decision in your relationship. Don't look at it in your finances as an independent. This has nothing. It's like, no, you're taking steps in a certain direction in life. Where is that headed? And do you really want to go there? Life is not just about where you intend to go. It's about where you're actually going. It's not just, well, I'd really like to end up in Florida, and just as long as I intend to be there, it doesn't matter that I'm driving north on I-95. Well, actually, it does. It really does. And I think a lot of us have a sense of a magic tomorrow where what I intend to happen, I'll just start doing. And we don't recognize the power of the path we're on because it's not neutral. And neither are we. Number two, This is really just, I'm glad you're seated for this one, because some of you, this is going to wreck your world, okay? You are not the exception to the path you are on. Just let that sink in for a moment. Well, I know everybody else who worked this much and didn't spend time with their family and did. I know they all ended up with bad families, but not me. Well, I know everybody else who spends this much money and kind of does this loan strategy and always gets bigger and better. And well, I know they all end up, but not me. Well, you know, I know everybody else who kind of dabbles in this stuff that, you know, ha, 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 we probably shouldn't really be doing, but it's kind of fun, and we're that age, so it's okay. I know everybody else usually ends up over here, but not me. You know, probably the most loving thing I could say to all of us is you and I are not an exception to the road we're traveling on. And somehow we think, well, because I'm driving in this car, like this, just because I'm going north on I-95 doesn't mean I'll end up there. It's like, no, it doesn't matter what you're driving in. You're still going to end up the same place as everybody else. It's something we need to come to grips with. Now, give you one little sample from the book, because I think it's a great little piece. And he, in the book, he's talking about how we think the exception is, well, you know, yeah, I probably shouldn't be on this path right now, but, you know, in a little bit, I'll get off and it'll be fine. So he's kind of talking about it. He says this: perhaps you've heard someone make the argument that experience is the best teacher. That may be true, but that's only half the truth. The other half is this: experience is a brutal teacher. And all God's people said, experience eats up your most valuable commodity, time. Learning from experience can eat up years. It can steal an entire stage of life. Experience can leave scars, inescapable memories, and regret. Sure, we all live and learn, but living and learning doesn't erase regret. Sure, regret is more than a memory. It's more than cerebral. It's emotional. Regret has the potential to create powerful emotions, emotions with the potential to drive a person right back to the behavior that created the regret to begin with. If regret can be avoided, it should be. And the principle of the path will help you remember to do that. Got to read it. It's good. So let me give you one more thought. Number three, when you find yourself lost or in a bad place, you need more than a fix or forgiveness. Now, I want you to imagine this. Rachel and I drive 3 hours north on I-95, and we realize, I turn to Rachel and go, Rachel, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And she says, Dad, I forgive you. Voila, we are magically in Florida. No? But I'm forgiven. I mean, it's all right now. No, I'm still 3 hours north on I-95. Well, we can fix that. Yeah, how? By going the other way for a long time. When we're lost, we don't fix being lost. What we do is we start going a new direction. And guess what? That direction takes time. I think probably the biggest mistake we make as Christians, does God forgive us? Absolutely. Does he have amazing grace on where we're at? Absolutely. Does that mean we're in Florida? No. It means you're 3 hours where you've been, 3 years where you've been headed. And what it's going to take is not just forgiveness, although forgiveness is important. It's going to take a new direction. And so here are four things it takes. I've got them listed right in your outline. It's going to take a new leader. I just think about that. You know, Rachel, I've been going wrong for 3 hours, but now I really feel like I'm just going to pick a new direction. Trust me. Not quite, Dad. We're going to actually look at our GPS and follow it, okay? You are no longer the leader. You are the driver, but you are no longer the leader. Follow the GPS, please. Okay? Some of us do that. Wow, I got really lost. I will now pick a new direction. and get us further lost. GPS, you got to choose a new leader. Who are you following? Jesus says what? I'm the good shepherd. He says, if anybody wants to find life, follow me. We need a new leader. We need a new direction. What do the Psalms tell us constantly about God's word? Psalm 119, 101, I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I may obey your word. 104, I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. 105, your word is a what? Lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If we need a new direction, it's not found in anything but the word of God. And then we need something that is probably the reason why sometimes we get so discouraged we just keep going in the direction we're going. And that is we need a new grace in our lives. Because nobody likes to admit they're lost. Right, guys? Okay. I'm the same. It's okay. I want you to think about it for a moment. A lot of us get so discouraged about being lost that we decide just to keep going. Because, I mean, I am very guilty. I would rather drive 5 blocks than stop at the light and wait. Even though it takes me longer, at least I'm, what, still moving. And I think we need to remember that there is grace right where we're at. You know, 3 hours on north on I-95, I may not be very happy, and honestly, I'm pretty frustrated. That's going to take me 3 hours just to get back to where I started. But along the way, there's grace. God's able to do something in my heart that changes something, that even though I've got a longer trip than I planned, even though I'm really frustrated that for the last 3 hours I went the wrong way, and I keep replaying how stupid I was to go that way and think about all the times I should have turned around, and you know, I keep thinking about, there's a grace for right now. Jesus said in his word that that there was a grace that only he offered. The scripture says that even where sin abounds, grace abounds more. The farther off the path you are, the more grace is going to be there for you. And I guess that means we've got to trust that more than us has the answer. And then finally, it's going to take a lot of time. Now, I say that, and almost none of us in this room want to hear that. Because we want to say, no. I don't want to admit that the last 3 hours of the journey were wrong. I'm going to make it into the right journey. You know, somehow Jesus kind of does that, but we don't do that. What we do is say, you know what, God, there is grace. I can love people. There's something in this that is rich and good. And I'm just going to be okay that time is going to have to take place for me to get where I've always dreamed of going. There's a guy named Moses who thought for sure he knew where God wanted the people of Israel to go. And he ended up at the Red Sea. This is not the right path. And God said, hang out here, and I'll make a path where there is none. Easter's about a stone that rolls away and says, you can keep going if you still want to. And I really want to encourage you this morning. Don't look at life like a bunch of random decisions. Look at it like steps in the path. And when you get discouraged by where you've been, and you kind of regret that you've gone too far, Jesus says, all who come to him, he will never leave or forsake. That eternal life, he is the what? The resurrection. That path that led to a dead end, turn around, follow me, and you will be surprised where it will lead. I think everything that we don't like about Christianity, church, and religion is when people try to take the path they're on and get God to bless it. God bless my path, even though I'm hurting this person, this person, this person. God bless my path, although I'm taking their money and their money and their money. God bless my path. That's where Christianity gets really lousy really quick, because that's not what it is. You know, anytime you've ever been healed in faith by Christ, anytime you've experienced his grace in a church service, said, okay, that's not too bad. You know what happened in that moment? In that moment, the people you were around got it right. They weren't trying to take you down their path. They said, you know what? We all need a path that's above all of ours. We all need to go someplace that only Jesus can take us. That's what changed your life when it did. And I want to encourage you, it can change again. My prayer is that you'll begin a few steps in the right direction these next few weeks. Because open up that Bible tomorrow is a step in the right direction. Taking some time to read is a step in the right direction. Taking the time to say, I might just come back. That's a step in the right direction. Most of all, saying I'm sorry or forgive me. That's probably the biggest step in the right direction. So I'm going to ask you to stand as we close service. In honor of the theme of the sermon, you will not be going out the same way you came in. I'm not even joking. You really won't. You came in these doors. You're going to exit out of these doors. And I pray that some of that will happen in the rest of your life as well. Would you bow your heart and your head with me this morning as we take some time to just make sure that we're not just hearing from a guy up on stage, but we're hearing from God.